Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, it is Easter. He is risen. I've been sleeping, and Neil Plumley is back. We're going to talk all about all everything and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This is the show when people get here on time, and even if they don't. Where we look back at the box office that was, and then...
We prognostic.
Kate.
Oh, beautiful. About the box office that lie ahead. I am Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
I'm Amy Cassiano Martinez.
And making us look good and sound even better is the lovely and generous Jonathan there in the booth.
Yo.
But of course, as I mentioned there in the little tease there, is that we have somebody who decided to come back that this week was more important than any other week in the recent box office breakdown memory. That's your boy, Neil Plumley, Esquire.
Is it me?
That's you.
Is it me?
That's right. Look at you, you handsome devil.
Won't you stop it?
I won't. I won't.
We miss you.
It's good to see you guys. Now, I say that like I can see you. But it's nice to hear from you.
Look at that.
If you're wondering, my name is Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where people are found at The Neil Plumley, which is T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-E-O-M-L-E-Y. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. You know, folks, if we'd also love to hear from you as well, too. So you know what you could do? You can like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give it a thumbs up, or 2, or 3, or 4. This is where you're in, Neil. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Whee!
Yes! But Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, comment down below.
Beautiful. So, yes, our apologies for a delayed start, and that is all on me. Every one of these other talented people were here on time, like the good people that they are. I was on my couch napping, like the bad person that I am. So, real quick, folks, we're going to do a little bit more of an abbreviated show, but we're going to still give you all that quality box office breakdown content that you crave.
Yes.
Yes. So, first off,
a quick
run through of last week's top five here. And this weekend's top five. Coming in at number one, The Curse of La Llorona.
Llorona.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
That's my white guy in his phone right there. Yeah.
All right.
Coming in from Warner Brothers, another 26.5.
Opening.
Yeah, I had not heard good things about this film.
Same. A friend of mine, Mexican-American, and she's like, nope, because she grew up with those legends and felt it was a bit more cookie-cutter, and I have not seen it. I was not as interested by the trailer, because it feels very much like, let's check off the boxes of a horror movie, and it felt with no interest or something different to get me to go check it out.
I think it's always interesting because I also just recently saw the newest Child's Play trailer, and it felt like the same thing that you're saying, where it's, especially in horror movies, you know you're going to get scared, there's going to be a jump scare, blah, but still have a little meat to it. So, I don't know, I will try to watch it just because I'm curious, because, I also was kind of raised around that.
Maybe later. Maybe one of those, I'll check it out later.
Any interest?
Not so much interest there, Frank. Thanks for asking. I thought it looked interesting, but at first, and then I kept seeing more trailers and more advertising for it. And it looked like they were saying just kind of cookie cutter. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go out and see it at all. I might see it when it hits home.
Well, so of course, produced by James Wan, who started the Conjuring universe, and first of all,
I like the Conjuring movies.
I thought this was going to actually be kind of labeled as part of that. Is this going to be an extension? But given, for whatever reasons, whether their lack of confidence in the film, they decided not to.
Mm.
But I'll ask you guys, how confident do you feel about something that's in the Conjuring universe as a brand? Is that enough for you to go like, yeah, I will go see that film because I think I'll get some quality scares?
I feel it's hit or miss. Conjuring 1 was cool. I like Conjuring 2 better because there's more monsters, but that's cool. They're both good. I feel they went a little too many Annabelles. So that's where it's more hit and miss.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, I don't know, it just in franchises in general, when they're like, yeah, people like this, then they make another one. You're like, okay, let's hope it's good. And then they just keep going and going. And to the point where you're like, Annabelle knows what's up. Like, you think she's going to... You know, she's back home. She's still home. Like, okay, Annabelle, I don't know. People should already know that she means bad things. You know, don't go and hang out with Annabelle.
I think we're actually starting our own. If you go on Redbubble, we have our own box office breakdown line of shirts, and that'll be our first one. Annabelle knows what's up.
Yeah. Coming soon.
Yes, great. Oh. We can't wait. Can't wait. Neil, are you excited about the Conjuring-verse?
I don't like horror franchises, Frank, and I'll tell you why. It's because there doesn't seem to be enough at stake in, at least in my mind, for the cast. So you see like a good original horror movie and you're like, wow, anyone can die. But then when they start making sequels to that, it becomes really campy. And sometimes that works to their advantage, like in the Scream series or in Freddy. You know, it gets really campy and weird, but they kind of like lean into it a little bit. But there always has to be people who like die. So in these Conjuring universe movies, like the first couple ones I really liked, and then I just started becoming disinterested because I'm like, oh, okay, because they're just going to, you know, sort of keep the same people around, and then maybe they'll die and they'll bring someone else on, and I just don't really feel it, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a good point. Yeah, when you know there's more, you're not as worried about them dying. They'll probably be back for the sequel.
Exactly. It's kind of like, I wish if they could do it all over again, if they could have, like, if it was more, like, anthological, but with, like, the same sort of bad guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right. Coming to number two, Shazam. Woo! From Warner Brothers. Another $17.3 million there. Mm-hmm. I know we've shared our thoughts. Neil, since it's been a while since you've had a chance to join us, did you see Shazam?
I did see Shazam.
And did you enjoy it?
In addition to that, I enjoyed it very much.
Yay!
Yay!
I had a great time. And also what's funny is that since I'm a boy from the Philadelphia area, I had no idea that it was set in Philadelphia until I saw the movie, which is stupid because in the trailers he's going down an escalator to get on like the Broad Street line, and I'm like, I should have seen that. I was in the theater watching it, and I'm like, oh, well, I should have seen that. I just assumed it was another city.
Wow, you shouldn't talk like that out loud in the theater, Neil.
I should just shout it. I should have seen that coming. Why didn't I see that? I liked it. I heard what you guys said about it, and I agree to a point about, I think with Frank's point about Zachary Levi not being entirely believable. Mm-hmm. And I agree, but only to the point where we didn't get enough characterization for young Billy. Mm-hmm. Says to watch Zachary Levi sort of make him an adult Billy. With all the other kids, it felt like it really fit.
Yeah,
fair. Their personas fit each other. But I think that's because we had a little bit more time, not to get complete characterizations for all of his brothers and sisters, but to get a little bit more than we got on Billy. But that just might be my opinion. They did stand out a lot more than Zachary Levi did, though. I'll give you that.
Fair, yeah. But they also make them easier archetypes to follow, maybe, of like, this is that character. I'm also glad you brought up the city, because I don't know, we didn't talk about it as much, but I really like that it was set in Philadelphia in terms of, I haven't seen that as much in superhero movies. I'm like, ooh, I like seeing a new city.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And as I think maybe if DC can lean into it a little bit, maybe diversifying the cities that they take place in, because so far, Marvel has done New York, L.A., Sokovia?
Wakanda?
Yeah. Wakanda.
Well, if you're thinking real.
I mean,
well,
they are
places
real.
We know.
They are real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, we have Wonder Woman taking place just like in Europe, which of course that doesn't really count. Then you have Aquaman takes place on the sea. And then they start with their major like urban hero for like this new wave that they're doing right now. And it's in Philadelphia. And I'm like, great. So now you still have like New York, Boston, Chicago. You have a lot of places you can go. And they didn't start off by, like, just tackling New York right at once, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it's in the comic books, he's got Fawcett City is where he calls home.
Yeah.
But they chose to put him in a real city.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Fawcett High
School. There you go.
But Fawcett High, however.
And that's because it was Fawcett Comics, right?
Am I that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that, Neil.
The more you know.
I saw that come in, like Fawcett and Fawcett. High school or middle school or whatever it was. I'm like, all right, because Fawcett Comics. Because before I went in, I read up on like the legal battle they had and how it went from Fawcett and then they closed it and whatever. I'm not going to bore everyone with that.
I've already been sleeping. I'm well rested at this point.
Well, we can make a breakthrough into the third film.
Oh.
Oh. Carrie. What a great
beautiful
day.
Yes. That's from Fox, and it made $11.1 million. Mm-hmm. I'd see the trailers for this, and I have to admit, my interest in the film, you know, it does not speak to me. I know there will be a section of the film going audience that this will be like, yes, this is the type of film I want to see.
Yeah, like my mom. Theater. My mom went and saw it, and she liked it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not quite. I feel like it's something maybe if you're staying at home on Lifetime kind of a movie.
Aww.
But not necessarily knocking on Lifetime movies, but it's just one of those, like, I don't know if I need to go to theaters to see it.
Yeah.
And I felt the trailer told me so much.
It told you everything.
Yeah.
It was like it's a dog's... Like,
okay.
Or on...
Dogs at Home. Which I'm like, nope, can't watch that. I'm going to cry the whole
same
time.
Same thing. Yeah. I also have to say that the more times I saw the trailer, the more I was like, ah, stop. But I do like... Because, I don't know. I feel like that happens with any trailer except Endgame. I do like that we are getting these kinds of movies out there.
Yeah. And getting wide
Easter
release.
Especially Easter weekend.
Because there are people that they're not maybe as interested in the other titles. And so it's something for... Like, there should be something for everybody.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, thanks, Amy.
Frank.
Neil, I'm assuming you didn't rush out to see Breakthrough this morning.
I'll be honest, Frank. I don't even know what it is.
All right, it's got Luke Cage in
story.
It.
It has Luke Cage.
That's right.
And Chrissy Metz.
Coming in at number four, Captain Marvel from Disney, $9.1 million. Getting those Endgame juices getting like, flowed. Oh. So they said they go to do this before seeing that. Yep. Neil, you had seen Shazam. You'd read all about the legal shenanigans between Marvel and DC in terms of the name. What did you think of Captain Marvel?
I liked it. I did. I didn't know. Now, going in, it's definitely a different hero archetype than we're used to. In this movie, the hero already had her powers. So... And that was, it was a little bit to, like, get me used to that, because we're so used to, like, having an origin movie where it's like, all right, and this is the – introduce you to the character, and then here they get their powers, and they learn how to deal with them, and then here they fight the person or whatever. And so it was a little weird just, like, getting thrown right into it for me. I don't think it was, like, maybe when I left the movie I was able to fully appreciate it more. But I came to realize that her struggle wasn't about her learning how to deal with, you know, her new powers. It was learning how to tell everyone to shut up, basically. True. Her struggle was, like, get out of my way, you know? Her main struggle was people telling her that she couldn't do it, and then her having to be like, I can do it. And then it was most brilliantly displayed when she does the whole thing, you know, in the climax and blows up all the ships and everything. And then she lands near... Jude Law's character, I forget his name. She lands near Jude Law's character, and he's like, all right, no powers. You can't, you're like, you're not good unless you can fight me with no powers. And she's like, no, I don't have to prove anything to you. And then just blasts him. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to fight on my terms or you're not cool enough. And she's like, no. That's a ridiculous statement. I'm not doing that.
Look, yeah, I kind of understand, as Neil would say, it's like her struggle. It's like, I wanted him to say, it's our struggle.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
Everybody?
We can all relate.
Yeah.
Sure. People will be like, you can't do it. And you're like, okay.
Oh, no. Hers is like, I don't owe you anything. I was ready to be like, yes!
Yes!
Those in the back!
But yeah, I liked it very much. It made me very excited to see what she will bring to Endgame. Mm-hmm. And also, I really get a kick out of how Shazam and Captain Marvel were in theaters at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Yeah. Coming in number five, we're rounding out our top five this week, is Little from Universal, $8.4 million added to its total. There we go.
Yep.
And that certainly was the end of our top five.
I'm pretty sure I lost that bet.
Yes, it was a subject of that week's box office bet, you know, and hey, why don't we just at least give everybody the satisfaction, because I know there's going to be those box office bet completists.
Right.
They're watching and they go, I gotta know who won, who lost. Gotta get the official tally on this. And for that, we've got Amy Cassandra bet $33 million when it opened on its opening weekend, which didn't make that much.
not even close.
No, sure didn't.
It's one that I might watch later. I'm more interested than like Breakthrough. Like, it looks fun, but I don't need to see it in theaters.
Yeah, it made like, I think, on 21, I believe is what it came in that week. So, yeah, so Amy Cassandra, the big loser.
Thank you.
Yes. the big loser. The big winner, holy cow, I guess that would have been Carrie Lane.
Yay!
With $22 million right there. Almost wow. Almost nailing right. it on the head.
Whip, whip, whip.
Thank you. We miss your sound effects as well.
So, Amy, we're excited for you to go see it and tell us all about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as always, the box office bet continues. And usually we reach out to you fine folks in the chat to help us decide which film that we're going to be betting on. This weekend, there's only one film.
A small
only
little one. Indie.
Little thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It Harley could use a lot of love.
Yeah.
And support from all of you. And that is Avengers Ngam. Yes.
I believe it's fancy. Pronounced Ngami.
Oh, thank you, ELC. I am not as cultural as you.
Yes.
Yes, so Avengers Endgame coming out there from Disney. We'll be coming out this weekend, and we'll be the one film that we'll be doing our box office bet on. So get ready for that, everybody. And it's only coming out on 4,400 screens, so I don't know if you'll be able to find anywhere near you that's going to be playing this film.
I already bought my ticket. And I know you did.
Yeah, you know, it was like, whatever.
Yours is a little ordeal. Yeah.
Now, I feel like we owe it to Neil Plumley, because he reached out to me saying, you know what, I haven't seen a lot of the current movies, and I really don't care about a lot of the current movies. But I do care about Endgame. I want to come on, and I want to talk about it. So, Neil Plumley, I'm going to turn it over to you for a hot second. What is it about Endgame that is like, I've got to get on Box Office Break, then I've got to come back to share my thoughts?
Well, there's a lot that goes into this. This whole movie is like, what is it, the 21st movie that Marvel's done? It's the longest-running film franchise in history, and there's probably not going to be anything that catches up to it anytime soon, since they're going to be continuing to make movies. It's unbelievable. It's been going on for, what, 11 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Just about 11 years. And what's insane is that the movie previous to this, well, not really, because we also had, you know, Captain Marvel and Ant-Man and the Wasp, but Avengers Infinity War made so much money. But it also made so much less than some of the biggest movies out there. So, like, for instance, Avengers Infinity War did, like, almost $700 million domestically. And the highest domestic gross right now is The Force Awakens, which is almost $1 billion. It's, like, $936 million domestically, which is unbelievable, because the one below that is Avatar, which is, like, $750 million. But that being said, Avengers Infinity War grossed like $1.36 billion internationally, which is an unbelievable number, but it's still less than, it's just a little bit more than Star Wars The Force Awakens. But it's like a whole billion less than what Avatar made. So I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying that Endgame is going to beat Avatar. I really don't think it's going to at all.
Well, especially when you look at the 3-hour running time. And sure, it's on 4,400 screens, but I feel at some point that 3-hour running time is going to catch up to it. Maybe not on the opening weekend, but it will catch up to it.
Mm.
Well, maybe, but Avatar was 2 hours and 40 minutes, so it's not really that big of a stretch. It's only 20 minutes more per screen time. Now, I think what might eat into it is everyone trying to pop trailers on before Endgame. That plus the extra running time might slow it down quite a bit more.
Hmm.
Because it's the biggest movie this year, period. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely think it's going to be bigger than The Rise of Skywalker, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be the biggest thing to happen in cinemas in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically 10 years, because Avatar came out 10 years ago.
Very nice.
But I do think that it will beat the all-time opening weekend record, which currently sits with Infinity War at $257 million. I think it will beat that. I'm not sure by how much.
You should put that
high
in your
end,
bet.
I don't want to say it now, because we're gonna bet on it. But
that's true.
I do think it will beat $257 million when it opens up coming up this weekend. Now, that being said, that, like, completely destroys any other opening weekend ever. Infinity War had like such a huge opening weekend. I think the closest one was, again, The Force Awakens, which was just under $250 million.
Well, the cops are coming to get Neil.
Yeah, your words are, you know, that's making a difference there, bud. Which we should get
to our box office bets. So, yes, so Neil, are excited to see if you still have that box office bet mojo coming with you here. Because, of course, Avengers Endgame is going to be on 4,400 screens, as I said here. Woo, 3 hours, 2 minute running time. We're going to do a little box office bet on what we think opening box office total is going to be. Of course, the winner will be the prognosticator or prognosticators. I mean, look how happy Carrie Lane was.
Yes. So excited.
The loser will be like Amy here.
Embrace it, guys. Film. Yeah.
All right. So,
as Neil was saying, so the last big one was about 250?
Yes.
Okay.
257.
And Neil, when are you seeing this film? Thursday night, Friday morning?
Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Ooh.
Oh, look at that. All right.
Yeah. Well, while you're got putting... some benefits being all the way out here. Gotta tell you. Gotta tell you. You know?
Jonathan, would you like to join us for this bet? Perfect.
Just Avengers.
Just the Avengers film.
You know.
Just the Avengers. Yeah. I think it's going to make...
Don't say it yet.
No, let's go.
Actually, while you're typing your numbers, can I mention real quick some movies I saw? Okay, so I caught up on some movies while we're typing in our numbers and you guys get your predictions. Caught up with Glass. I enjoyed it, but the ending was a bit weak. I saw Crimes of Grindelwald, which I liked, but you definitely need the first one because otherwise there's not as much character to building and heart, and it makes me want more. And then I also saw Bad Times at Hotel Royale, and it's a much slower burn than the trailer told you, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but just know it's a super slower burn, and I did enjoy it. And also indie film making the circuits right now. I went to the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles, and there's a new film. So check festivals near you called The Odds. And it's a female director, Megha Ramaswamy. And it's super cute, funny, quirky, and zany kind of slice of life. Kids who ditch school and just kind of have weird life stuff happen. And it's really adorable. I liked it a lot.
But kids stay in school.
Yeah, it's a special test. And they're like, the one girl goes, I'm not going to go today. And then just the weird stuff that happens on their day.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to do our bets. Jonathan, we will start with you, sir. What do you think Avengers Endgame will make? It's opening weekend.
It's opening weekend. I think I'm going to go with, let's just go really high, $320 million.
All right.
$320,
yes.
Okay. Yes.
I like the man who's swinging for the fences.
Wow, $320, that's huge.
Neil Plumley. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, Patrick in the chat says $245. Another Neil in the chat says 265, and Sky Patterson says 260.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, live chat people. Hello.
Holy cow. Neil Plumlee's already got it written, and he's going to do the big reveal.
I'm ready.
I love it. Yes. Give it to us.
It's like Jeopardy.
All right. It is, my bet is 285.
Ooh, nice. Very nice.
Okay.
285.
Okay.
All right. I like that. Amy.
300.
Oh, 300.
Khalil in the chat says 270. Nicholas says, I think you need a zero there. I just see 27. I'm like, that's a little small. But hey, maybe. Neil, we're almost twinsies. 280.
Oh, ooh. 280. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right. I went with 266.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh. Yes.
You think it'll like just get above in Infinity War?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think we all tried to get our tickets.
Do you see? That was so hard. It wasn't that hard for Infinity War.
People were jazzed about Infinity War. No, it was.
Not as jazzed about Endgame.
Yeah, but it's funny. This is like the end. Adam Tickets reported that they have sold, I think, four times the amount of pre-sales tickets that they did for Infinity War.
You already put your number, Frank, so it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see Endgame.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. Neil, holy cow, it was so great to have you back, even so briefly.
It's great to be back.
My goodness, please don't make it so long before you come back and you grace us again with your presence.
I'll try.
But folks, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you everybody for hopping in the chat. Carrie, if they're watching after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, comment down below. How excited are you for Endgame?
Now, if you want to stay in touch with us, any of us, even after the show's over, Neil, where can they find you?
Oh, thanks for that toss, Frank. My name is Neil Plumlee. You can find me at places where people are found at the Neil Plumlee. That's TheNeilPlumlee. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Jonathan, you're not big on the social media, but you know what? We love them nonetheless. But comment on our fan page, or on our episode title. Just let us know how great Jonathan is, because I know he'd love to read it. Amy, how about yourself?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Nailed it. Thank you.
Hmm. Yay. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Follow me on the Twittergrams at Happy Go Jackie, folks. We'll see you back here next Sunday night at our usual time of 5 p.m. Pacific there, when everybody will be awake and alert for an all-new episode of Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk. Go see
ya.
Avengers Endgame.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.